for the worship service, and we do worship you this morning. Thank you for all the visitors, Lord. And we pray, we ask humbly that you would anoint us and them, Lord, all of us, to hear and, Lord, to speak. To hear, Lord, as we speak, to speak the word of the Lord and to hear it by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you'll give us obedient hearts by your grace. I pray for your mercy to be on us, Lord. I pray that I can, God, be calm and get this out the way I should. I bless you, Father. I bless you, Jesus. Let your word come. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to, first of all, we have a hurricane escapee in our midst. How many know Soleil? You want to stand up, Soleil? Come on, Soleil, stand up. How many know Soleil? Wave your hand around. You know Soleil? She lives in Homestead now, and she was going here in VGF for a long time, and she got out. Was it Wednesday morning? Yeah, Wednesday morning she got out, and actually the
story, what did you do?
What did I do?
Or what you didn't do?
What didn't I do? No, no. But she got, I locked her out of the house. Okay, I admit it. She said, I'll be there at 11. I came home, locked the door, and I got a text, and at 3 in the morning I went out and got her. She was out in the car. Sorry, Soleil. But she was right in the path. And you know that storm, I guess, it veered off to the left a little bit and it didn't hit Homestead directly. Thank God, right? I mean, we don't want it to hit anywhere directly, but it missed Soleil's house. So we're glad to have you, Soleil. Welcome aboard. Before I get preaching, I want to read this prophecy again. I'll tell you why I want to read it. You may not know what a prophecy is. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecies are something that God gives us to edify us, to build us up, to encourage us, and to exhort us. How many know the Holy Spirit is in the church? And in fact, I'm going to demonstrate that today by the word of the Lord. Okay, one thing that the Bible teaches is that God has a voice and he uses it. If you go from what one guy said, Job to Malachi, or Genesis to Revelation, if you go through there, God is always speaking. The problem is never that God doesn't speak, is are we hearing? And then even the bigger test is when we hear, do we obey? Do you know that's what faith is? Hearing God and obeying. When you hear and you obey. Sometimes we hear things we may not want to hear, and we choose to doubt and allow voices to come in and steer us off God's path for our life. But God's word for us is good. And God's plan for us is good. Even in the midst of despair and desperation, if we peel off and walk away from the Lord, it's not going to get better. We need to grab a hold of God with all we have. And this was the prophecy. I turned over to Pam during the second song, and Pam's always my ever-faithful witness. I said, Evelyn has a prophecy. I felt it. I said, Evelyn has a prophecy this morning. I can feel it. And then I don't know what it was. After I got up there, Evelyn came up and gave me this. Isn't that something? And of course, Evelyn did have a prophecy. And I could feel the spirit of prophecy. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. I could just feel it stirring. Gary had a prophecy this morning. Maybe some of you did too. But here it was. I have set before you a firm foundation. Now, we have the foundation of the apostles. We have the foundation of the Word of God. God has set forth. And we have foundation of the speaking of God in this house. It's a foundation of truth and love. Some of you are not believing in the power of my truth. I said, I will keep you in my hands, but you think you will be free yourself or freeing yourself following deceptions and the lust of the flesh. And you wonder why you have sorrow upon sorrow. And I could say a lot about that. It comes upon you and those who do not rest in me. I am love. I have good plans for you. Align yourself into my word. It is your lifeline. Your hope are my promises, or your hope in my promises. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So take heed to that and listen. The Lord is saying he has good plans for us, and walking away from his plans doesn't lead to good. How many of you know when you've walked away from your conscience, even just your conscience, you did something against that internal witness God gave you in your conscience? How many have done that and it didn't turn out good? About everybody, right? How many of you haven't done that? Be a smaller crowd, wouldn't it? Now, you know, I was reading this week in a book, and it talked about the way God speaks. And, you know, to non-believers or non-Christians, do you know God still speaks to them? Amen. Do you know that? God speaks to people that haven't heard the gospel yet. He speaks to people that aren't in the house of God. God speaks through our conscience. You know, before you gave your life to the Lord, you had a conscience. When you put your little hand in that cookie jar, and you knew mom said not to, you knew you were doing wrong. Problem with some of us, we persisted so long in doing it, it got easier and easier to do. You can dull your conscience. Some of you started carrying on when you were in high school. We had a high school reunion Friday night, right, Dave? Right, Roger? My high school buddies? 40 years, our 40-year reunion. It was fun, wasn't it? But some of us way back then started disobeying our conscience. Way back in high school, we started going a different way, following our own way. And I know when I did that, me personally, when I started walking away from my conscience, let alone the Word of God, I reaped disaster on my life. And you know, the Word of God says that a man will seek his own direction, a man will seek his own way, and then things cave in on him and he rages against God. You ever seen that? A man will seek his own way. He'll break from all counsel, or she will break from all counsel. She will go her own way, and things blow up, and then they shake their fist at God. Why did you allow this to happen? When we know the testimony of Scripture is God says, I have plans for you, and my plans are good. Now, the word of the Lord in our life and the path of God in our life is not always a direct and easy way. Sometimes it involves perseverance, as Gary said this morning. Sometimes it involves digging in. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. All week long, this thought has been in me about hearing the word of the Lord and obeying. And I'm telling you, I am not satisfied just to preach a message and say that was a good message. I will not be satisfied until every person that calls Grace Point their home hears the voice of God in their life and acts on it and obeys it. That steps out. Denny, I forgot you this morning, but we will get you. Denny has a video. He wants to give us an update on Haiti. I just thought of you when I was thinking about what Denny's done in Haiti, how he has stepped out, and he has not been for about a year now to Haiti. 2 years, but he was a missionary there, spending a lot of time there. And just from hearing the voice of God, he started a feeding program without even going to Haiti. And right now, every week, how many are you feeding there, Denny? 80. Feeding 80, and it started at 50, and he had maybe $1,000 to begin with, and now the money that's been provided by this church and other churches has gone up, and he's already very close to meeting his budget for the year. Isn't that good news? Amen. That happened because he heard the Lord tell him, get this thing started. It was probably for a while moving on. Yeah, I know because talking to Denny. He was hearing the voice of God, something was stirring in him, and he stepped out and obeyed with really no money, but his own money he was going to put into it, and then the Lord met that need, and now we're feeding, and Grace Point is a part of that. Isn't that good news? He has a video to show. Maybe we'll get you up since we already did an altar call. We'll see. Maybe we'll get you up at the end. But it's very important that we realize that the Spirit of God speaks to us today. He speaks through the Word, and He speaks by the Spirit. We've been studying Hebrews in Sunday school, and both Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10 says that in this new covenant, God is going to write His law in your heart. God is going to put His words in your spirit. He's going to put them in your mind. No more are you going to have to say, hey, let's run to the temple, let's run over here, let's run over there. Every man is going to hear God. So what that tells me is every person in here, no matter where you're at, God is speaking to you. God, if you're a believer, He's writing His law in your heart. And as God is speaking to you, I guarantee you, you are hearing other voices too. When God speaks to you, we know from the story of the Garden of Eden, there's another voice that comes behind there and says, hath God said? Did God really say, you can go to college, I'll provide for you? Did He really say that? Did God really tell me not to date this young man? Did God really say, I want you to be a missionary? Did God really tell me that I can be extraordinary, that I can step out in faith and He has a plan for my life? Did He really say that? Or am I just following my own devices? Anytime God speaks, there's always a counter voice. In order for there to be false prophets, there has to be real prophets. If there's a false teacher, then there has to be a real teacher. Amen? If there's the word of the Lord, then there's a counterfeit. One of the things, I'll just throw this in as a free point. One of the things about a counterfeit or a false prophet is they promote or endorse immorality. They condone it. God never anywhere from Genesis to Revelation condones immorality. He is a holy God, and He wants His children to be holy. Now, He offers us grace in our trials. He offers us forgiveness when we fail. He's a father. He's not beating you up for your failures, even your sins. He's so willing to forgive them because Jesus paid the price. He's not offering you condemnation, but God will never tell you when you sin, that sin was okay. I don't care. You can do it again. I love you. No, God will say, like a good dad, bend over. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Yeah, right, Dad. anybody ever wonder about that logic? How is this going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me? Because this hurts me a lot. But you know, when you really love your kids, it can be hard to discipline them. In fact, the Word of God says that if you love your child, you will discipline them. Little free parental counseling. You can't let your kids run amok. If the kids don't have borders, I don't mean being mean or heavy-handed. You're a father. You love your everything. If you ever raise your voice and whip your kids in anger, you've gone off the wrong way. God don't do that. God has self-control. No, what we do when we discipline, you keep control because you're doing it for the sake of your child, not so you can vent some anger. If you're venting anger, you're off. You're not disciplining your children so you can feel relieved of your anger. I told you 10 times, I never, you do that one more time. I got a couple of those. Those hopper whippings, like, woo, woo, woo. That's how I became a Pentecostal, to be honest with you. Right there, I was speaking in tongues. Woo, woo. Dad was getting me with that belt. What'd you say, Soleil, you become a hooper? A hooper? I became a hooper right then. But what the Lord wants us to do as parents, this is just a free thing, is discipline our children in love for their edification and their benefit. Now, God will come into our life and bring correction, but He's going to do it out of love. God doesn't need to vent anger on us. In fact, if you study the Word, God poured out His anger, His wrath on His Son, on Christ, and He paid for your sins so you don't ever have to experience that again. But He will discipline you and correct you to get you back where you need to be. So it's very important for us, and we're going to go into this a little bit. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about the voice of God. Like this morning, I mean, this is an example. I knew that God was speaking to Evelyn. How did you know that? I don't know how I know that. How did you know? I was at La Paloma this week. The Lord told me to go talk to this guy. How did I know God was telling me? I don't know how I knew. But it comes where you're at. It's like a little kid. When a little child first begins to speak or to understand English, it comes piecemeal. It's not perfect. How many of you you came out of the womb and you were speaking French? Comment allez-vous, papa? You know? Very few of you, if any, were come. No, when you came out of the womb, you had to learn language. You had to learn your mom and dad's voice. You had to learn. You probably knew your mom's because you were right in there with your mother. So your mother gives you comfort when you're a baby because you know her voice. You learn your father's voice, and the voice of a stranger you won't follow. So, but you have to learn this, and then you learn to speak and you learn to hear. It comes through practice, and you'll notice that God, when He marches the patriarchs or His children, He's always taking them step by step. He's always marching them. But if you don't follow the voice when God is speaking, you're never going to learn. If you don't learn to walk by faith and hear God's voice, you don't respond, the Bible talks about being dull of hearing and having a fat heart. Your heart gets enclosed with fat. You can't hear God. And that's why we have to repent. That's why in the book of Hebrews, which Ken, that book's been on my heart and mind since you got in there. It says you do always err in your heart. The battle is always in your heart. It's always, what are you going to do with the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord is coming to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the ancients or the elders obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which are seen were made of things which are not seen. Now, I'm going to do some skipping. I want you to watch this, what happens by faith. And I want you to apply it to your life. If you don't apply it to your life, it's not going to do you any good. It's going to be theology without reality. I love theology. I love doctrine. But doctrine and theology should lead us to reality, and that reality should lead us to response. There is no speaking of God where he does not require response. No more than you parents. Johnny, clean your room. Do you expect a response? Yes, you do expect. I'm going to skip some verses because I want you to see this. By faith, Abel offered to God. Verse 5. We'll go down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark. He did something. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go. By faith, Sarah herself also, verse 11, received strength. Verse 17, by faith, when he was tested, and I want to key on that word, tested. When he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And if you go on and you read, as you continue to read, you'll see Jacob did something by faith. Joseph did something by faith. Moses did something by faith. When they heard the voice of God, it caused a response in their heart. It called for movement. It called for to do something. Faith is not just believing and sitting on your hind end. Faith is not just saying, I've heard, I have all the doctrine, I have all the theology I need, I believe everything properly, I'm good to go with God. I get to heaven, God's going to look at you and say, boy, your theology was awesome. Boy, you had it right. You had every jot, every tittle right. Of all the people in the earth, no wonder you couldn't stay at one church more than 3 weeks. You just knew more than they did. Get in here, son. I want to congratulate you. You know so much. In fact, I have a question myself I want to ask you. You and I have some differences, and I want to see where I'm wrong. You think that's going to happen? And again, I'm telling you, you need to rightly divide the word of God. You need to have theology. You need to study it. But this theology and this studying, as you can see in the scripture, is going to lead you to a response. It's going to lead you to some action. You know, in Matthew 25, it said, feed the hungry. We can have wonderful doctrine about that. I believe in that doctrine. We need to feed the hungry. Anybody? Amen. Someone say amen. Amen. We need to clothe the naked. Amen. Amen. We need to, you know, go visit those in jail, right? Those in prison. Amen. Who's going to bring some food for the food pantry? Amen. Well, no, amen. That's right. We are, right? No, it's responding to that. You know, we know that our God is love, and his attitude toward his creation is love. And he wants to partner with you. It's not just the preacher, the prophet, the teacher. It's not them. The prophets, the teachers, these people that are speaking into your life, as I said last week, they are equipping you so you can do something, so that you can be a mighty woman of God, so that you can intercede for your family, so you can go to the Salvation Army and provide meals, so you can move in God's direction. We don't come here just to hear a sermon and say, I've done my weekly duty, my conscience is good, let's go home and get some chicken dinner. We are coming here hopefully to be encouraged to go out into our world with the good news about Jesus. You know, people are hurting everywhere you go if you have an eye to see them. I was walking, I had a meeting with Bo from the Vineyard. Him and I meet every now and then, and we were talking, and I was walking from one part of downtown to the other part of downtown, and I didn't feel like much of anything. I just felt like a normal human being, but I stopped and talked to a couple homeless guys that I knew before, or guys that had eaten down to Salvation Army, and I got talking to them. And just from that fellowship, it was really good. The one guy actually said he wants to come out and visit us out here. It was a good conversation, but the Lord was stirring in my spirit. And I believe the reason he did that was because when I turned the corner, there was a woman sitting there with lonely eyes and a beat up disposition. Do you know what I mean? She was sitting by herself. She was looking off vacantly. She had on older clothing. And I could have easily, because I was meeting my wife at La Paloma to get my mom some Thursday lunch, I could have easily ignored her, but because I was already kind of stirred up, I just turned off and I sat down and talked to her. I'm not going to tell you everything that happened. I'm going to leave that between me and the Lord, but something inside me moved me toward her because I could tell that she was suffering. She had need. Something stirred within me. Something on the inside. When we stay connected to God, that stirring is going to happen more and more often. It won't just stir, it'll stir in 1,000 directions. It'll stir you to pray for somebody. It'll stir you and move you to do things that you never thought that you would do. The love of God is so overwhelming when you give place to it, it will move you to forgive those that you've been bitter toward for 20 years. Something in you will break and you will realize, I've got to deal with this. Because God is moving in you. And when he's speaking to you by faith, it is a very perilous thing when we continually ignore that prompting from the Lord. As I was reading this week, I saw another thing in the Word. So we need to be tender and to obey the Lord. But do you know God will speak things to you, and those things that he speaks to you will be tested. In fact, it seems like to me, if you go back to Genesis and you march all the way through Exodus and Deuteronomy, and you go into the prophets, into the New Testament, it seems like God will speak a word to you, and that word will be tested in your life. God will tell you something. Many of us fail at the test. In chapter 11, we read that Abraham, when he was tested, he was tested. God said, do this, Abraham, and the word of the Lord tried him. God's commandment came in and tested him and tried him. And the reason that the Lord tests us and tries us is with the word, he wants to know what's in our heart. He wants to know what's in your heart. He wants to know what you want. He wants to know what you're valuing. He wants to know what you're prioritizing. The reason that Esau failed the test was because he chose soup and he chose earthly pleasure over God's long-term plan. God offered him an eternal inheritance, and he traded it in for a shortcut. And many of us, during the fires of the test in our life, we give up. We stop. And the temptation with the lie of Satan is, why do these things always happen to me? Why is God against me? Why is the world turning? If God loved me, this wouldn't happen to me. That temptation is always to question God's goodness in your life or God's plan. When you fall for that lie, the lie of the devil, that God's against you, that God did not speak to you, and you buckle under, it's not good. I've said it before, sometimes we think that God's going to feel sorry for us, but that is not how God works. How many know God's not going to feel sorry for you? It's kind of like your dad, again, you're on a bicycle, and you ride your bike, and you crash that bike, and you skin your knee. Now, your loving father is going to pick you up, dust your mom's probably going to put some, what's that orange stuff? Mercuricone. Did that stuff do anything but burn anyway? Did that ever help anybody? It just burned, right? They said the more it hurts, the better it is for you. Like, no, I don't, that doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, my mom, I was orange. I had orange elbows, orange knees. My mom would put Mercuricone on me. My dad would say, get back on the bike. What? Mom's kissing my boo-boos and putting orange stuff on me. My dad was saying, get back on the bike. He wanted me to overcome my fear and get back up. Our father is not going to, well, you know, he'll love you and he'll comfort you, and he will. Especially if you got a real distressing trial, God's going to comfort you. He is going to strengthen you. But you're 20 years old. You need to learn to ride that bicycle. Okay, we're going to take those training wheels off. You're 20 years old now, okay? Let's detach the training wheels. And he's going to get you up again to ride again. God will not be satisfied until you're in his plan for your life. Why is that? Because he's God. Because he's God. He has the final voice. And in fact, contrary to what some of us may want or like, when you die, when you stand before God, it's going to be His plans and purposes for your life that you're going to be judged by, not what you decided to do. I believe He's a good judge. How about you? I believe He's full of grace. How about you? I believe He's going to be good to us, but it's not going to be your plans and purposes that He's going to judge you by. It's going to be what He purposed for you, and those purposes are good. That's why you read in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you encounter trials of different kinds. Count it joy. Why? Because the testing of your faith, when your faith is tested, okay, it's going to produce something. Let's flip over there. Let's read that. We're right there anyway. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Gary, there's your word. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Those trials are going to make you strong. Those testings are going to make you strong. How do you know what you believe until you have a little adversity? I don't know if I can stand in on a 90-mile-an-hour fastball or not. Can you? I tell you why I don't know, because every time I saw one, I jumped out. In fact, if it was 70, I would be jumping out of the batter's box. This was my stance. It started like this, and it went like that. The more heat it had on it, the more I'm jumping out. I didn't want to get hit with the baseball. I was a baseball coward. I don't understand these guys that stand in there with a 100-mile-an-hour Roland Chapman fastball coming at him, and they're standing in there. Can any of you do that? No, but if you're going to hit that, you can. Patty can. If you're going to hit that thing, you got to stand in there. That thing's coming at you. That thing's going to test you. It says sometimes their knees buckle. Their knees just buckle when they're up there getting those things. Okay? But it's the guy that can stand in there and take that heat and make that swing that's going to get where he needs to go. We'll never know what's in our heart until we stand in. And I believe, like Peter, you know, when Jesus told Peter to come, walk on the water, walk on the word, I'm telling you something, come to me, live by faith, stretch your wings out, come to me. When Peter stepped out and walked on that water, we like to give him a hard time for sinking, but I tell you what, he had faith enough to get out and walk. And here's the good news. Every time we get out and walk, if we're walking and we sink, Jesus is going to pick us up. And he's going to put us back in the boat. He says, why did you doubt? Do it next time. Do it next time. That's a lot better than standing in the boat, isn't it? I'd rather get out there and walk and sink than to never get out. You know what the guys do? Most of the guys do that are in the boat. They criticize the guy that gets out of the boat. I've heard many people say this. Says, life is not for those that don't participate. And the battle or the problem isn't the people that get out and fail. The critics are the ones that never get out of the boat in the first place. But we're sitting in the safety of the boat. We're not doing anything for God. We're not doing anything in our life. And it's so easy to criticize someone that gets out of the boat. Oh, you didn't do that right, Peter. You didn't have any faith, Peter. Look at Peter. Peter sunk. And they're all in the boat criticizing. No, life is for the person that gets out of the boat. You sink once, you sink twice, you sink three times. You keep getting up and moving forward. You're going to get where God said go. Amen, Debbie? We may sink, but we ain't drowning. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. They just weeble. And I preached this before. That's the resurrection power of Jesus that's in you. Christ lives in you. You're going to have winds and storms and Irmas come at you, and some are more powerful. You're going to have some Cat 5s in your life. If you haven't had a Cat 5 yet, you probably got one coming. You may have a Cat 3. You may have a Cat. But whatever happens, when that wind comes, you have resurrection power, the life of Jesus in you, Roger, that when it's all done, and when all the dust settles, and everything's been said and done, you're going to be like a weeble. You're going to wobble, but you're not going to fall down. You're not going to give up on your faith. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up on God. No matter how many devils come at you, you're not going to do it, because you've got resurrection power. God in you, Christ in you, is not a quitter. He's not a quitter. We don't quit on our marriages. We don't quit on our spouses. We don't quit on our kids. We don't quit on one another. I believe in you, Gary, and you're going to get where you need to go. We're not quitters. We're believers. In fact, we're actually irritating to many people. We irritate people because we just keep on believing. You can throw criticism at us. You can throw things at us. We're going to keep believing. And we're going to love you. It's going to really make you mad. I love when I see people that don't like me, and the love of Jesus, the gooey love of Jesus, just gets all over me, and I can walk right up to them and hug them and say, honey, I love you, and mean it. I'm not faking. I'm coming this way. I got you guys. This aisle right here. I got you. I mean it. I love it when I can do that because I know that's Jesus. That's supernatural. I'm not hating anybody. I'm not going to allow any person to make my heart hard and bitter. It ain't worth it. God has a destiny for me, and I want it. Do you want it? Someone say amen.
Amen.
I don't care if you failed. I don't care. I don't care if you feel like a do nothing. You know, you've never done anything. God is going to move on you to do something. I know He is because His Word is full of it. And the people in this catalog, the heroes of faith in chapter 11, are just people like you. Didn't look any better than you, didn't look any worse. They weren't any smarter than you, they weren't any dumber than you. They were people just like you. God looked at their hearts. David was a short little guy, right? Rudy and short. Probably wasn't very big. And they all always big brothers, okay? And you would think, that guy's big, I'm going to take him. I want Roger on my team. Roger's a big guy. Anything but volleyball, Roger. You're on my team. I want, but God doesn't look at the stature of a man. He doesn't look how much hair you got. Oh, Soleil's feeling sorry for me. Soleil just said, poor Uncle Brad. God is going to look at your heart and see what's in there. That's what He wants. And you know what? Honestly, the Bible, the Word says, we preached 2 weeks ago, that you're complete in Him. He sees Jesus in there anyway. He sees Christ in you, and that's what He's mining. That's what He's digging for. He sees Jesus in you. Even in your failure, He still sees Jesus in there, and He's mining for it. He's calling it out. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. He's just calling in there for Christ in you to come out. He's developing you, and He's building in you. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Learn while you're young. Who said that? Amen. Learn while you're young. Yeah, you're better. You are far better off. Flip over to the book of Revelation. I'm going to ask for your help here. And Jeff has corrected me, and I've been rebuked by Elder Jeff. And Jeff told me, as I've said it 1,000 times, the book of Revelations. Jeff has told me it's not the book of Revelations. What is it?
Revelation.
Revelation. It really irritated Jeff. Turn to Revelations. It's not Revelations, Brad. Because he loves me. I want somebody to volunteer. I'm going to ask you to read chapter 2. Stand up and read it loud. Chapter 2, verse 7. Who will do that? You got to read it loud. You going to do it? Okay, you got that. Someone else read chapter 2, verse 11. Who will do that out loud? Who's got it? Patty, that's yours. Chapter 2, verse 17. Who has it? Jeff, that's yours. 2:17. Chapter 2, verse 29. Who has it? Debbie, that's yours. Remember, chapter 3, verse 6, who has it? Come on. Soleil, you got that? Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 13, who has it? Pam's got that. Last one, last chance. Chapter 3, verse 22, who's got it? Michael's got that. Michael Hirschman's got that. Okay, start with the beginning. Revelation 2, 7. Read it out loud. Seven times in the written word of God, it says, whoever has an ear. Do you got an ear? Okay. Well, we all have ears, right? Right? Most of us anyway. We all have ears. Seven times, he's saying, who's listening? Who is listening to the Spirit? Seven different times. That means, number one, the Spirit's talking to you. Right? The Spirit is talking to you. Number two, you have to have ears to hear what He's saying. And number three, you're going to be rewarded when you obey what the Spirit says. Some of those things involve trial, right? But the Spirit is saying something. Don't ignore what the Spirit is saying in your life. In the Old Testament, if the Spirit left the temple, if the Spirit left, They called that Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. You don't want the glory of the Lord to depart from your life and just live like a mere creature. You want the Holy Spirit in your life, bringing fruit in your life, bringing power in your life, bringing anointing, and fulfilling your calling on your life, which far transcends being a preacher. I think in these last days, God's going to anoint businessmen and women to do powerful things. Amen. Right? He's going to anoint the everyday Joe to go out and do powerful things in their business. In 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith." It says the Spirit is speaking expressly. That means the Spirit is speaking exactly. The Spirit has a sure word. The Spirit's not confused. When the Holy Spirit's talking to you, He's not confused. Those confusing voices are other voices that come in to try to mix you up. God has a sure word for you. Peter talks about a more sure word of prophecy. God's speaking to all of us. That's why I don't understand those of us that hear a message on Sunday and you leave and you don't get back in your Bible and you don't pray about what God is saying to you through the week. Because I surely know that God's talking to you on Monday. I know He's talking to you on Tuesday. In fact, I don't have time to go through it. But if you would read the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is leading the apostles. The Holy Spirit is leading the disciples. Paul was going to Bethany, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't go over there." And he tried to go somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit specifically spoke to him and said, "No, don't go over there." And he sent him to Asia instead. And they had a great revival in Asia. God had a purpose. Now, these things are written for your edification. So when you want to know, where should I go to college? Where should I work? What should I do? The Spirit is going to speak to you expressly. He's going to give you an exact word. "This is what I want you to do." And you got to guard that word and chaperone the word. And it's not wrong if you're inexperienced at it to go to an elder, to go to someone else and say, "Hey, this is what I believe the Lord's telling me. What does this sound like to you?" But you're the one that's going to hear it. And even if you get a prophetic word, if someone comes to you and they say, "Mark, the Lord told me you're going to Indonesia. You need to pack 3 bags and you need to go to Indonesia." If God's not telling you to go to Indonesia, you just need to put that on a shelf. God's not going to tell someone else about your life, and He's not going to tell you. Some people are guided by prophets. That's really not scriptural. A prophet should be confirming what God's telling you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Christ is speaking to you. So when someone gives you a word, you've got to take that to the Lord. "Debbie, I don't think you're going to Indonesia. I don't think you are. Mark, I don't think you are." But when people give you words, I have known situations where, I won't say which sex, but people get together and they tell each other to leave your husband. The Lord's telling them, "Leave your husband," or "Leave your wife." I'm like, "What?" And the reason people fall for that stuff is because that's what they want to hear. That's what you want to hear. And the Bible talks about having tickled ears. Getting your ears tickled. No, God, now there's, you can fail in a marriage and be forgiven. Can someone say amen? Amen. It's okay. Not everything works out the way that we write it up or plan it. There's grace and mercy and forgiveness for that. Okay, I had years ago, I had a wife and I had 2 children, and she left me with 2 children. I had to deal with that. So I'm not talking about perfection, but what I'm saying, when someone comes and gives you a word, you don't want to be distracted, you know, and thrown off course, but sometimes we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. But God isn't going to do that. That should confirm what the Lord has put in your heart. Does that make sense? And I want to say this. Anytime the Lord speaks, God has given His written word to us. What we're hearing should line up with that written word. Amen. That's our fences. That's our boundaries. That's where we're safe. That's why we know when God says, "Leave your husband and go chase this person," that doesn't fit inside the fence, does it? Right? God said to go trash that preacher. Go talk to everybody in town about it. No, that doesn't fit inside the forgiveness fence, does it? God said when you and someone got in a fight, you're saying, God told you, "I didn't do anything wrong. I don't have to seek peace. I bless God. No one has a right to talk to me that way. Where is that in the Bible? Give me a chapter and verse for that. Yeah, go back to the Old Testament where God's smiting the Amalekites, I guess, you know. But no, the word, no, it needs to line up with what God's saying, but there is a prophetic word in your life. There is the Spirit is speaking in your life. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
All right. I think I beat that horse enough. What do you think? Amen? She says amen. I beat that horse enough. Amen. You get anything out of that? You guys get anything out of that? How many be honest? The Lord's speaking to you. He's been speaking to you. I want to be a little bit more honest. How many of you think that God's been speaking, but you haven't been paying attention as much as you need to? Okay? Bunch of us, right? I got my hand over here. What's that? Time to get the training wheels off. Amen. Talon, would you reach over there and help him with that? Amen. Lord wants us to move on. He wants us to dig in ourselves. He wants us to hear him for ourselves. So I'm just trying to see where should we take this. It's 5 till 12. Won't we pray? And I'm going to dismiss. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be at the altar, Pam and I. Jeff, will you and Evelyn come up too? Would you guys do that? If you need prayer for anything, we'll be up at the altar. So, yeah, I'm probably going to get him next week. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. And if you need prayer for anything, we'll be up here. Amen? All right. Father, thank you again for the word of the Lord. Thank you for speaking into each of our lives, Lord. God, I pray for the word of grace to people in here right now that they failed in areas of their life and maybe condemnation would come on and say, well, you know, you don't have any value. You miss God's plan for your life. You're out of God's will. Lord, I pray for that person because that's already the lie of the devil in their heart. What you would say to that person, Lord, is I have a plan for you right now. Whether you're 20, 40, 50, or 80, and my plan for you is good. You're saying to them, I'll never fail you or forsake you. I'll never reject you. I will never abandon you. And that your grace and your mercy in their life is mighty, it's powerful. God, if you judge us, you're judging us on how we walk in love and how we respond to your love message. To love our neighbor as ourselves. I pray that no one would feel that way, Lord. Lord, I bless your people as they go today. I pray for a great week. I pray that your hearing and your voice would become more and more distinct in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.